This is Robert Stark. I am joined here with Kareem Thielgard. He is an actor and musician. Kareem, it's great talking to you.
Great to be a part of the show.
And I'm also joined here with my co-host, Sam Kevorkian.
Great to co-host the show once again.
Kareem, can you tell us about yourself, just a kind of a basic biographical information?
Sure. Well, I'm an actor and musician, and currently I'm living in Copenhagen, but I kind of could best be described as what is called a TCK. That's a term I came across a couple of years ago. It stands for Third Culture Kid. Basically, for kids who literally learned to fly before they could walk, meaning that I have had quite a bit of a vagabond type of lifestyle. So I was born in Brazil, and then via many, many other ways of passage, I ended up in Copenhagen now, where I am. So I first started acting professionally when I was in London, and then via Paris, I then came to Denmark about 4 years ago, where I'm now working pretty much full time. And alongside all that, I of course couldn't help but pick up a guitar, because who doesn't want to be a rock star?
Do you have one main passion in life? Would you say it's acting, music, or something else?
Well, I kind of see it more as being a creative or an artist in total, because I couldn't tell you this is more important than that to me, like acting or music. Like when I get that question, I would say both, because they fuel each other and inspire each other. So, of course, my main sort of job, so to speak, is acting, working in film. But a part of the way I am as an artist and what influences my everyday life or outlook is also very much music based. And I find that the two complement each other a lot, both like from a methodology point of view, like how do I use music in my life, or how do I think, what am I inspired by when I make music? A lot of that also carries over into my acting work and vice versa.
What musicians did you listen to growing up, and what were some of your primary early musical influences that influenced your work?
I used to be driven around a lot. We went on a lot of long car drives for various reasons when I was a kid. So it was basically what was in the car radio. And that included a lot of tapes of ABBA and 60s and 50s music. And then also whatever I could steal from my sister. So I definitely listened to a lot of Michael Jackson. And I remember stealing my sister's copy of Nirvana Nevermind, and just putting that on alone when I was alone at home. And then, of course, there's the hidden track, Endless Nameless, and I'd never heard about it before. And I don't think my sister even knew about it at the time. So I just put on the CD, laid down on my bed, and just rocked out, and then fell asleep. And then 20 minutes later, all of a sudden, this barrage of noise came on, and I was just like, what is going on? And that really made me interested in like more alternative music and experimentation and other bands. But definitely a good mix of Nirvana, Michael Jackson, and ABBA.
Can you talk about your music videos, and do you also direct the cinematography with them?
My first music video was for my first single, The Way We Used to Be. The director is actually a photographer called João Retorta. He's from Portugal originally, and he does street photography, and this was his first music video. We kind of came up with the concept together, and I kind of co-directed it, but left it largely up to him in terms of how we wanted to capture the concept, which revolved around how people can be in close relationships with each other, and it can be so sort of cocooned that people outside that relationship can't understand what's going on. But even the two people may be speaking to each other, but can make each other understandable. So that's why you don't explicitly see what's being said in the video, because we leave it up to the audience to construct what they feel the emotions are being related through the song and through the video.
What is the process of creating a song? Does it come to you automatically, or is it a long process? And do you write the lyrics or the melody first?
I think it's developed quite a bit for me. I used to mainly write lyrics first and then kind of put the music on top of that. But I feel like as I've increasingly gone away from performing in a band sort of environment to more being a music producer, I focus more on first creating and messing around with a groove, drums, bass, and then after that, putting like a vocal or a lead melody on top. And then often if I find that's cool, I've got a cool groove going, I'll just start like singing random sounds and melodies on top of that. Like most of it is mumbo jumbo probably, until I just find lyrics that fit, or I might be looking in my notebook, where I like write fragments and then try them out and all of a sudden something fits. And that from there, I kind of discover a theme and then the rest of the song kind of writes itself. So I would say overall, it's probably like groove first and then melody second.
Have you performed both as a solo artist and with bands? You were with a band called Mute?
Yeah, the last gig I played in London was as a solo artist, and that was actually also my first gig in London. And that's kind of how the band Mute started. It was just me on an acoustic guitar. I like to play in a band again because I miss that energy that you have, the excitement of being a part of something, and the energy and that just reverberates around that. But it's just kind of hard at the moment to do that properly in a way that you could actually play live, just because of my shooting schedule is like these days.
Are you currently working on any music projects?
Well, I have like basically a full album sitting on my hard drive waiting to be finished, but it's just with so much acting work the past couple of years, it's been hard to just finish doing the mixes and releasing it. And I kind of feel like now some of those songs feel dated. A lot of those songs were about sort of coming of age.
Mean dated as in your personal life, not in the decades and eras?
Personal life. Although, you know, like good songs, you know, even though they might not be relevant to you in this moment, they can still be relevant to play for you. But what I mean by dated also is just I've progressed quite a lot in my production skills, I feel. So now I kind of feel like they're not relevant to what I can do now. But what I might do is pick a few of those songs, the best songs, and then release them as singles or as an EP, and then maybe start a new project if I get some downtime at some point later on.
Do you have a favorite place you've lived or traveled to?
When I'm asked, like, what's your favorite place of all the cities or countries you've lived in, I usually say, well, I try to find something about every place that I'm in that's unique and interesting. Because, you know, a lot of tourists, they would come to some place and say, oh, that was small, or that wasn't that great, or this was bigger, this was better. And I think that kind of misses the point of experiencing a place. You want to find something that's unique and special about that place. If everything comes down to what was best by virtue of being bigger or more extravagant or whatever, then, you know, everywhere would be the same. So I try to always, when I go somewhere, find somewhere local and make that my spot, like visit it frequently, whether it's a cafe, a bench, or something else. Because then I feel like I'm part of wherever I am, like the city or whatever. Having said that, though, I would say that Paris and New York are the two cities where I felt the most at home the quickest. It's just something about the vibe and the people, the atmosphere, and the time in my life where I was there that really fit with me.
And you also have a background in photography. Do you have a specific genre of photography that appeals to you? Say there's modeling photography, there's travel photography, nature photography, photography of cityscapes. Is there one in particular that appeals to you the most? And what do you mostly do? So you do this for a living as well?
I do that more sort of as as an interest. I photograph for a blog called Fashion Beat TV, which is mainly on Facebook. And I mainly do music photography, live photography. And that stems back from, like, ever since I was a kid, I was just, like, always reading and looking at biographies, autobiographies about the bands and artists that I loved. And, you know, those old black and white kind of grimy photos have definitely influenced my style. And actually, what also really influenced my style, if I have a sort of particular photography style, is the camera that I've used throughout the past decade, really. Which is absolutely not suited to the type of photography that I do, which is usually low light concert photography. I have a Micro Four Thirds Leica camera, and it's the worst choice ever. But it's forced me to work in a certain way, and that certainly makes my photos kind of stand out with a certain style, quite gritty and what I would call biographical, because I guess I focus more on not making pretty pictures, but more capturing the story. And I think that also goes back to me being an actor and a musician myself, which is essentially storytelling in different mediums.
It's interesting you brought up cities, because some cities are very photogenic, obviously New York and Paris, as you mentioned. I've actually never been to New York or Paris, but I have been to London. And I found that London is very difficult to capture the feel and photography, but I can't comment on those other places.
Well, I think it's a correct observation, because the thing about London is it's so diverse and different. And I think although London is the city I've lived in the longest, I also struggled a lot with making it my home or feeling that I fit in, because it kind of depends on what type of person you are, the types of places you enjoy, the types of music, the type of food that you enjoy. If you're living in an area of London that isn't, you know, the type of environment that you really like, then you can feel very much out of place. So, for example, if you're very much into rock and roll, you probably would enjoy living in Camden. But if you're living in, let's say, south of the river in, like, Brixton or somewhere else where it's an entirely different vibe, then you might feel sort of more out of place. So that's both a great thing and a downside of London, is, you know, there's so much diversity. You can go to a different area and it's completely different sights, sounds, taste, and smell, and that's amazing. But it can also make you feel even more lonely in some ways, because if your crowd is like the opposite end of the city, then it can definitely exacerbate that feeling of big city loneliness.
How did you originally get into fashion modeling?
I was writing my bachelor thesis in London, and I would usually stay up at night and write late and then just like hang out during the day, walk around the city, hang out. And I was walking down Carnaby Street and just browsing like in this independent designer shop. And the owner comes over to me and says, "Hey, you have an interesting look. Would you maybe want to shoot for my collection?" And I thought, hey, why not? Never tried it before, but sounds fun. I have time. So I shot his collection. And about a month later, I handed in my thesis on the Monday. I did my final exam on Tuesday. And on the Wednesday, I'd been asked to walk in his fashion show for London Fashion Week. So that was a bit of an exciting week. I walked the show, and at the show, I got spotted by an agency and then ended up getting signed to them. And from there, it was just like one thing took the other, and I ended up working as a professional model, which is something I never thought I would ever be doing. But, you know, it was just like, why not? Let's give it a go.
Do you have a strong interest in fashion, and how would you describe your own fashion's style?
Until I started working professionally within the business, I hadn't really considered myself having a strong interest in the business, certainly. However, I've always had an interest in styling and in the aesthetics and dressing up in general. And that appealed to me, the design element and just the art element, the artistic element, the expression of it and what clothes can do, what styling can do. So that's why I was intrigued by it. Wait, what was the question again? or do you not answer it?
How would you describe your own fashion style and interest?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think a lot of people comment on it if I go out. It's like, hey, what the hell are you wearing? That I think that sums it up pretty well. I would say it's probably quite glamorous or quite unique. Certainly bold compared to, you know, I'm in Scandinavia, so the perpetual color of fashion is black, no color, and like just minimalistic everything. So if I go out wearing some audacious outfit, like some crazy colors or something or some crazy combination, it certainly gets noticed. But that's also kind of cool because, like, if you're not naturally that outgoing at parties where you don't really know people, people kind of come to you, and it's always a good conversation starter. And actually, wearing one of these ridiculous outfits once at an event was what got me talking to one of the top acting agents here. So there is a reason to the madness sometimes.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never knew that about Scandinavia. I always assumed that Scandinavia was colorful and lively.
I think it's safe to say, I mean, there can be colors, but it's always kind of minimalistic. So if you have lots of whites, grays, grayish blue, blacks, then the color will be used sparingly but with impact. I think that's a pretty good description of it. So you'll come here and you'll find lots of people wearing pretty much basic things, black, but just always very stylish. It could be black, it could be white, it could be like a grayish blue or something. But then they'll have like one thing that stands out in like a vibrant red or yellow or something like that.
Yeah, I noticed with Scandinavian design, I'm a big fan of the mid-century modern Danish design, but the newer stuff has a more kind of sterile feel to it. It's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are some people who kind of stick out. It's definitely safe to say that the overall Scandinavian aesthetic is pretty minimalistic. But then, for example, within fashion, you'll have someone like the Danish designer slash artist, really, called Henrik Vibskov. Some of his designs are almost like clown-like. Or that far out there, like something that would suit being in, I don't know, a new version of Labyrinth, the movie, or something like that. So I think that can be seen as a contrast.
Oh, you're talking about the David Bowie's look in that film.
Exactly, yeah. So you can definitely see that as kind of an antithesis to the general minimalist aesthetic, that you'll have these people who stick out and just do the complete opposite. And that means that they stand out even more. And that's pretty cool. I feel that, you know, the people who do stick out really stick out.
Yeah, I've noticed here where I live in Santa Barbara, there are a lot of Scandinavian students, mm-hmm. but they sort of go out of their way to sort of adopt the more stereotypical, like, Southern California beach town look.
Mm-hmm. I was actually, when I was living in L.A., I was a bit surprised at how a lot of people would dress as if they were in Western Europe, just because, like, it's L.A., it's about 35 degrees Celsius, whatever that is in Fahrenheit, and you're still wearing a leather jacket and jeans. How are you not dead yet? I don't know. Like, what's it like in Santa Barbara? What do people wear there?
It's pretty casual, like a T-shirt, backwards baseball hat, especially amongst college students.
Mm-hmm. That sounds a lot more comfortable than leather jackets and jeans in scorching LA heat.
Well, I don't mind I don't mind it if it's like a dry heat, but I actually like to wear black. I wear like a long black dress shirt and black jeans.
Mm-hmm. But then I guess I suppose you also have air conditioning most places.
I actually don't, but I'd say okay. 80% of people do.
Yeah. Yeah, because here, if it's that hot, it's like, okay, it never gets that hot. But when it's hot, you know, it's not normal to have air conditioning. So if it gets that hot, you're just wearing shorts and T-shirts and praying for winter.
How did you originally get into acting? You said you got into acting before music and modeling.
Well, professionally, I got into acting after music and modeling. But that was kind of a return to my original interest, in the sense that since I was a kid, it was always film, cinematography, acting, making props, making my own movies. That was my big passion. Like, around the age of, I don't know, 6, 7 years old, I would borrow my dad's Super 8 silent movie camera and shoot films on that, and he would help me, like, cut the movies, like, literally with, like, razor blades and then glue. And then I'd have, like, a, you know, those old classic Fisher-Price tape recorders where you could also record sound on and like, record music and voiceover and stuff like that, and then kind of do a very basic form of syncing where we'd play the film, and then I'd press play on the Fisher-Price tape recorder, and that would be like the sound and the songs and stuff like that to whatever I'd filmed. But, you know, as you get older and your teacher starts saying, okay, so what do you want to do? Do you want to go, what do you want to do after high school, for example? You're going to study business or something else normal and serious? And I was like, no, I want to make movies. And they were like, oh, okay, but what do you really want to do? You can't go and make a living off making movies. So that kind of pushed me out to the side, where I ended up studying something way more serious, which of course is music production, because we all know that's a very safe option, right? But doing music production kind of made me focus on marketing, music marketing, distribution, and copyright law. But how I actually came back to filmmaking and acting was via fashion, because, as I said before, I got signed to this agency whilst doing the show, which I originally got spotted for whilst writing my thesis. And as a model, I started going to like commercial castings as well, where there'd be casting for TV commercials, online commercials, where I all of a sudden had to start using my old acting abilities and interests. And that kind of rekindled that passion. And when you go to parties, fashion parties, at fashion parties, you'll see people from all sorts of the creative industries. So music, film, fashion, design, art. And I would meet a lot of people, a lot of strangers, and a lot of them would say, hey, are you an actor or something? And I would say, no, why do you ask? Well, you just seem like someone who'd be really good at it. And I kind of felt or thought that it can't be just by accident that so many people are saying the same thing. So sometimes it takes strangers to spot your talents, maybe. So I felt, okay, I'm going to give this a go. I'm going to apply for some small short films and that kind of thing, and then see if I can get into an acting school. If I get in, great. If I like it, extra great. If not, at least I've given it a go. So that's what I did, and I ended up studying at Drama Center in London, and it was like the best time ever. And from then on, I just felt, okay, this is it. This makes sense. And then I just started writing, producing to get some material and to gain a network as well, because I feel like as an actor, you need to know about writing and producing as well, even if you have no aspirations towards that, because I feel like you need to be able to put your money where your mouth is. If you can't cast yourself, if you don't feel like you can cast yourself, how can you expect other people to cast you? So that's how it really all got started. I started writing, producing short films, and then getting more experience, and then gradually getting signed by an acting agent, and then booking bigger and bigger parts.
What actors and filmmakers and directors originally inspired you?
I think since I was a teen, probably Sofia Coppola. I really, really, or rather her first movie, The Virgin Suicides, had a big impact on me. I guess both the characters, the story, the themes, but also the way it was told. It was just very subtle and subdued, the colors, the acting style, and also the very integrated use of music appealed to me, because obviously I still had a very musical interest, and it just kind of made sense. At the moment, I'm reading about Robert De Niro, the biography by Sean Levy, and that's really interesting, because I've always been a De Niro fan, especially since watching The Mission from, I think it was like 1986 or 88, I think. That movie had a big impact on me, and now it's just been really interesting reading about him and how he got into acting, because he wasn't actually originally that hell-bent on being an actor. It kind of, He started and stopped a few times until he really embraced it.
Do you have a specific type of role that you like to play or that you're sort of known for?
I think a lot of people have praised me, which sounds a bit strange to be saying, but praised me for a very naturalistic ability. So I think that's definitely a strength. However, I wouldn't say there's necessarily one type of role or movie that I would say is my favorite or that I would like to focus on. I would rather say if the story and the character is interesting, unique, or challenging in some way, if there's something that interests me about that, then I would definitely always be interested in the possibility of playing that character.
Do you have a favorite film that you have been in?
Well, I think my favorite film is the one that's coming up, my next big project. It's the debut feature film by a young Danish director called Asger Bartels. And there's a working title in English so far that's called The Lights in Their Eyes. The Danish title is something completely different. It's actually the Danish equivalent of what is in English, a moth. But the English title so far is The Lights in Their Eyes. And the reason I say that's my favorite project is because at the moment, everything is revolving around that. I'm just really enjoying the process of getting to grips with such a big project. It's my first time playing a lead character in a feature film. So I'm just really enjoying the character work and being part of the pre-production. I've also helped with the casting and stuff like that and some of the artistic choices. And it suits me very well in terms of also reading the biography about Robert De Niro, because he explains, Sean Levy, the author, explains a lot about how Robert De Niro got involved with a lot of his projects as well as an actor. So that is going to definitely be my most favorite experience this year, I hope. And that's going to be shooting end of October, start of November-ish here in Copenhagen and North Zealand, the island that Copenhagen is on. And just briefly to sum that up, it's basically about a guy who's struggling to come to terms about where he is in life and what he has achieved around the time of the death of his estranged father.
You starred and wrote the film Brother, and this has a medieval theme about a crown prince who's forced to choose between killing his adopted brother or risk losing his throne to a civil war. Can you talk about that, and what role did you play in that?
Yeah, that was one of the first short films that I wrote and produced, and actually it was kind of, the reason I decided to make that was because I wanted to have some material to send to Nina Gold, the original casting director of Game of Thrones. Now, I had auditioned for and met Nina Gold twice previously on commercial castings and been cast both times. So when she was casting for Game of Thrones, I thought, yikes, I got to get on that, but I have absolutely no material that's suitable to send her. And I kind of felt, if I just sent her my regular showreel and my regular headshots, I would have a hard time convincing her, because, you know, there's this stigma that, you know, if you don't look a certain way, like if you're kind of a bit darker in your features, it's harder to be thought of as potential for period drama. So I felt, well, I'll help that case along, or rather not help it along, by proving that I could look the part in a period drama.
The period drama take place in a particular country? Because Game of Thrones is interesting as it's inspired by medieval Europe, but it's in mm-hmm. fictional nations.
Well, Brother is entirely fantasy, but if you were to put it into a certain time period, it would be, I guess, early medieval period, so like, I don't know, 1300s, 1200s, 1300s. So I felt that would be pretty fitting as like a showcase material for a potential Game of Thrones audition.
What are some of your upcoming film projects?
Well, I just finished wrapping on another feature film, which is called Sebi. That's a really, really bizarre film. It's a mockumentary about a guy who arrives from Switzerland to Denmark and gets to stay and hang out with this group of friends. And initially, he's a very nice, likable guy. He helps people out. Everyone enjoys having him around. But then increasingly, when he's not around people, they become more and more lifeless. And one of the friends starts becoming suspicious about what is going on, and also the fact that it seems like his girlfriend is starting to have feelings for this guy called Sebi. So he starts digging into the background of this guy, Sebi, and all of a sudden he disappears. So
there's Sebi or the main character?
Well, I play the investigator who Zen hired to find out what happened to the friend. And then it ends up being like kind of a making of a murderer type of mystery. But it's like if you imagine like David Lynch directing this.
I'm a big fan of Twin Peaks.
Yeah. So imagine Twin Peaks, but on acid. It's bizarre.
Is there a supernatural element like Twin Peaks?
I couldn't. Well, that might be a bit of a spoiler, but there's certainly some very, very odd and strange happenings going on. But you're just going to have to wait for like a trailer, which should be coming out sometime next year. I believe the premiere will be around May next year or so.
You also starred in Timeless. So this was about a young couple who are contemplating whether or not to undergo the transition into being immortal. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, that was my first lead role in Danish, acting in Danish.
So the other films you mentioned were in English?
Well, Sebi is in Danish, and this one coming up in the end of October, which is The Lights in Their Eyes, is going to be in Danish as well. But prior to Timeless, I'd mainly acted in English or French.
Can you talk about the role you played in Timeless and your thoughts on that movie?
The way it came about was actually I was contacted by the director, and they needed the main actor because I think someone else who had the role before had become unavailable or dropped out or something. So here they were ready to shoot, and they didn't have a lead actor. So he sent me the script. We had a Skype conversation, and within 24 hours of reading the script for the first time, I was in front of the camera acting in Danish for the first time, really. So that was a bit of a tumultuous sequence of events, but it turned out really fun. It was quite a challenge, but the role was about this couple who are in the dilemma of whether or not to undergo the transition into immortality. This is in a sci-fi future where you have the option of becoming immortal. But of course, if you become immortal, maybe that might end up not making your life any better. So they're confronted with this person who's actually trying to kill himself, but who also has the option of making them immortal. So they're just struggling with, should we do this or should we not? The pros and cons. And then all of a sudden, my character's girlfriend actually becomes deathly ill. So he has the option of making her immortal or leaving her to die. And he doesn't really know what to do because part of him wants her to not become immortal. Part of her wants her to find peace. And of course, part of him wants her to live on.
You were also in the film Scar Tissue, about a young man who's stalked by a serial killer who supposedly died decades ago. What role did you play in that film?
I play a real finance bro. His name is Brad. He is exactly as obnoxious as he sounds. That was my first speaking role in a feature film in the UK. So it wasn't very big, but it was certainly fun and an experience to do. It was I'm part of a group of workmates who go out to this like sleazy club hangout. It's like a dive bar / stripper joint, and our colleague gets abducted, and he ends up being trapped by this sort of person who's out to seek revenge for previous wrongs that he feels have been committed against him. So it's a bit of a kind of a Saw feeling going on there.
Would you say it's a little bit like American Psycho?
No, I would say it's probably more like Saw, but with a more of a Actually, no, I think Saw is a pretty good parallel to it. There's not so much like torture porn in it, if you would say describe Saw or the other one, Hostel. Do you remember that series?
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, so it's not as insane as that, but it's certainly sort of along that kind of thing, but probably a bit more film noir to it, a bit more mystery to it.
We're getting close to the end of the show. Kareem, do you want to talk more about some of your upcoming projects? I think we did touch on that.
Yeah, well, definitely keep an eye out for this new feature film. There's going to be some postings going on my fan page on Facebook, where you can find me, just Kareem Thielgard Official, or on Twitter, Kareem Thielgard, and on my Instagram for sure. You can follow whilst I'm shooting. I'll be posting posts to my story and online there. That's going to be really cool for sure, because it's going to be over like an extended period of time. I'll give you an insight into the behind the scenes, the characters, the story, and also just the technical workings if you're interested in basic filmmaking as well. So the Danish title is Netsvama, which means moth in English, but the English title so far is The Lights in Their Eyes. So definitely find me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and I'll be sharing much more there in the future.
Kareem Thielgard, it's been an excellent show. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you very much for having me, and I look forward to talking with you guys again.
And also, thanks, Sam Kevorkian.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.